Mary Cassian says a lot of women fear that embracing biblical womanhood means losing their personality.
That if I'm a strong-minded, opinionated,
outgoing
extrovert, that I have to change. And that's simply not true.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, June 1st. Sugar and spice and everything nice. A children's rhyme used to define femininity that way. I doubt most women would embrace that definition in our day. The important thing to understand is not what nursery rhymes say and not what the swirl of voices around us says. What matters is what God's Word says. Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have written a workbook that explores a biblical definition of womanhood. It's called True Woman 101, Divine Design. They've invited some friends to discuss Chapter 3 of that book. It's called Sugar and Spice. Yesterday, we heard part one of the conversation between Nancy, Mary, Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, and Dana Gresh. Nancy will pick things back up talking about nesting.
The desire to create a space to nurture relationships, and we see that with in the scripture, the challenge for women to have a heart for home. Mm-hmm. Domesticity is the old-fashioned word, domestic. You hardly hear that word anymore.
Right.
But that is part of what's at the core of womanhood, is that nesting instinct.
Mm-hmm. But we have spent so long now denying that, telling our girls, telling women that being domestic, being in your home is not important, that it doesn't matter.
Really devaluing that calling.
Devaluing that calling, making it something that is not critical to our life at all as mm-hmm. women.
And yet the Bible really lists having a heart for your home mm-hmm. as one of the top 10 things that women need to learn and need to be mentored in.
Titus chapter 2.
Great
true woman passage.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Having that heart for the home. And it's not just... I think often we think, well, this is just for married women who have children. But I think that womanhood, overall, womanhood doesn't matter what age or stage of life, is about creating that space that's welcoming and that nurtures life. Doesn't matter if you're married, doesn't matter if you have children. And it's high time that we really start valuing the home and start telling women that their homes are important.
And I want to emphasize that this is not just all of these core values at the heart of womanhood are not just for married women. And I'll be the advocate for single women here and say that it really is a joy and a privilege to create in my home a space that is welcoming. In fact, Mary, you've been camped out at my house for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it's to welcome somebody into my home, to create an environment that's conducive to growth and nurture and caring. That's part of what fulfills who God made me to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think that heart of hospitality really comes from the heart of God. Like mm-hmm. He prepared the garden. He prepared a beautiful place.
And isn't that what the gospel is all
yes.
about? It's Christ on the cross extending His arms saying, come to my home.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to prepare a place
right.
for you.
Yeah.
And I
mm-hmm.
want to receive you there. And so when we show hospitality, we show the open armedness of the gospel. We show the welcoming heart
yeah.
of God. And mm-hmm. as women, that's a way we model and make the gospel attractive.
And we model really what the church does here on earth. We, in terms of creating a place where life can happen, mm-hmm. where community can happen, where connectedness can happen, where you see life and growth. Really, that's what the church does for Christ. And that's what women model in terms of who we are as women, to create those spaces for our girlfriends,
yes.
for our families, if we happen to be married, or just, you know, to have that life-giving space. And you don't need to be a married woman to be able
right.
to do that.
I saw a really neat blog just this week. A single woman was talking about how she had this hope chest and this fine china and this beautiful china that one day she would eat on with her husband. And God just really spoke to her and said, take the china out. Mm-hmm. You're a nurturer now. You're
exactly.
a homemaker now. And
use
so
it.
When her girlfriends come over, they eat on the most beautiful china with the most beautiful crystal. And she said, this is just my obedience to the Lord that I'm a nurturer now.
Being a woman.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I love in the study that that is the attitude in these first few lessons that we've looked at, that it's not about putting on a certain outfit or conforming to any set of rules. It's about the heart that says, I understand who God created me to be, and giving ourselves permission to step back a little bit, get God's perspective on our lives, and understand that being soft, that mm-hmm. creating those environments is part of what God has built into me if I will tap into it. Mm-hmm. And I love in the study that we're looking at stepping back, getting big picture concepts mm-hmm. of what our womanhood is about, and that it's okay.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because the rubber meets the road. God help me with the laundry. Like, how do you make, you know, that... that this is a real deal. Like, packing lunches has been yes. something the Lord's had to transform my heart with. How do you make this attitude of softness and nurturing roll over into, all right, in the next 15 minutes, I have to pack lunches and get some laundry out of, you know, moment right. by moment?
Well, I mean, for me, it has been a process of surrender to God's will for my life rather than my own agenda. But seeing even those things that God has called me to as part of his big picture calling on my life. That,
and you're now doing it with not only children and grandchildren, but also with an elderly mother with Alzheimer's.
I'm pretty much doing every season of life right now, which knowing who I was at 20 is pretty amazing. It's a good thing God did not give me a roadmap at 20.
Yeah,
because I would have been running the other direction. Mm-hmm. But what God did was grow me up mm-hmm. into yeah. those things. And I think it's about realizing that even those mundane things that I am not a fan of mm-hmm. are part of the big picture of raising sons and daughters who will have that concept when they leave my home.
Mm-hmm. And they matter. They matter to those right. family members.
They really do matter. It makes a difference. I think we need to be careful, though, to kind of explain that we're not talking about a stereotype here
right.
about who does what, but it's really just cultivating that heart, that womanly disposition, that just propensity to nurture and to, you know, line our nest with feathers and to create that environment that really is conducive to life. But it's just keeping in mind those big picture things. And
see, that's the deal for me, is big picture.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm folding laundry, it's real easy for me to grumble because I just did it yesterday.
And you're going to do it again tomorrow.
I'm going to do it again tomorrow. So that's big right. picture for me is praying over my children while mm-hmm. I fold their laundry.
Actually, that's what I used to do, actually. Mm-hmm. Every time I matched a pair of socks, it was like I would pray yes. for the person whose feet were going to be in those socks
yeah.
the next
right.
day.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just overwhelmingly monotonous for me, those mm-hmm. kinds of tasks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think even as we were talking, Nancy, about single women, what I've seen God do in you in the last couple of decades is change your heart toward the things that God has called us to as women, so that it's okay if you want to decorate your home or cook a meal. And there's an understanding that it's not either or. That even that softness in any environment is part of living out God's message, whether you're teaching a Bible study or you're having guests in your home and
again,
wanting them to be comfortable.
It goes back to an attitude of the heart. So as we mm-hmm. think back over those five core aspects of womanhood that we looked at in this week's lesson, let me just tick them off here. Softness, mm-hmm. forming deep relational bonds, having a welcoming, responsive spirit, creating a place to beget and nurture life, and then one we didn't get to in this discussion, but we did in the study this week, being a helper, so realizing this is not an inferior role, this is a vital role to men. As you think about those aspects of womanhood, is there any particular one that you have found most difficult or challenging?
To be a helper without being a controller. Mm. You know, because I've shared with you how I looked at the helper role as, oh, good, this is where I get to fix my husband. I'm helping him improve. And to step back from that and see that the helper role is actually encouraging him and empowering him to be the man God has called him to be. And that can be done in many different ways.
And woman really helps. It's not really about helping him. He's not the end point of that.
Right.
And as soon as you lose sight of the big picture, you start taking missteps, I think, in terms of attitude or heart, mm-hmm. or in terms of just deciding mm-hmm. what it should look like. Mm-hmm. I think if we have the big picture in mind, that really gives us guidance. I know that for me, sometimes forming those deep relational bonds, I have a limited capacity in terms of how many people I can relate deeply to. So just...
We all do.
Yeah,
and
we all
with
do.
Social media mm-hmm. and technology, there's a demand put on us to, you know, Facebook, you got like 6 gazillion friends.
Almost pseudo-relationships.
Pseudo-relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I look at my girlfriends who, you know, seem to have so much bigger capacity in that area. And they're very good at remembering birthdays and anniversaries and just relating really well. Well, it's not that I don't want to.
You forgot my birthday.
I forgot my anniversary 1 year. Get that. My sweet husband shows up with a gift and I go, oh, I forgot. And so that's a challenge for me. I need
just
to be
once
more,
in 30 years.
Once in 30 years. Okay. So
not too bad.
I made it up to him.
29-1, you know.
All right. I made it up to him. But that you know, it's... But there's so much joy and so much fulfillment, and it's almost like when I am intentional about that part, it's like it pours life into me. It's just I become more of who God created me to be. Mm. So I think it is important to be intentional about realizing, instead of just going, oh, well, that's not me, going, well, God created a woman with this capacity, and maybe I ought to go there and try it out a little bit.
I think for me, the responsive spirit... having a responsive spirit was probably the biggest challenge and still is, because my tendency is to want to focus on myself. And I have to get my eyes off myself and look big picture. Like you said, Dana, the softness thing didn't come naturally to me. Know that is something God desires to do through me. It's not something I have to create. Mm-hmm. It's something I have to rest in and allow God to do that through me as he grows me up. And so, for sure, that was a struggle for me, that responsiveness.
My struggle would be nurturing. Mm. you wouldn't look at me and say, what an awful mom, what an awful wife. As long as it was creative and outside the box, if I could, I mean, this is the girl, I was writing Bible study curriculum for my mom and dad when I was 7 years old, you know, TBFF, the Barker Family Fellowship, meets every Tuesday here. So if I was being creative with my kids, crafting things, writing Bible studies, reading the Bible with them, taking them for hikes, great. Laundry, grocery store, love cooking, don't like the grocery store, packing lunches. And here's where the Lord really got me years ago was the verse, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am not packing lunches with my might, Lord. I am barely getting that. You know, my kids even grumbled and complained about the soggy, did you make these peanut butter sandwiches at the beginning of the week and for the whole week, you know, kind of thing. So, you know what I do is I get creative with that. Since I'm not good with routine, I get creative with routine. And I say, Lord, you know, how can I be creative about lunches? And so my kids don't get the standard lunch sandwich, chips, apple. They get leftovers.
Are you trying to convict the rest of us?
Yeah, you're
going to
make everybody feel really bad.
No, and they're not getting like the organic shaved carrot sandwich that some of my girlfriends send to school. Oh my goodness. Because I'm not a morning person. So I plan my meals out with lunches in mind so that I can put them in those little containers and they can just use the microwave at school. And they have these phenomenal, you know, beef stew one day, chili with toppings the next day. And for me, it's easier and it's creative. So I found that I can submit. I just have to do it. I have to find how God created my personality to work so that I can do
for
those.
For nurturing.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
for nurturing.
And like you said, it doesn't have to look like the other mom who's shaving carrots into her sandwich.
She's crazy.
It's going to be what God has called you to. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And let's talk for a minute about how this nurturing, responsive, welcoming heart attitude can play out outside the home in our relationships with men in general. Just think about what that looks like, married, single. So what does it look like? How does the gospel play out in our womanhood as we, in the workplace, in, you know, the number of us travel? Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
I have a good
like?
Travel story. one time when I got on a plane and I'm, you know, schlepping, that's the good German word, schlepping my little suitcase down the aisle.
Your little heavy suitcase?
My little heavy suitcase. And a gentleman stands up and offers to put it in the overhead for me. And I say, no, thanks. That's all right. I can manage it myself. And I sit down and God's Spirit just convicts me,
right,
thinking I just missed an opportunity to allow him bring his strength into my life to minister to me as a woman.
To let him be a gentleman.
And to let him be a gentleman and for me to be soft mm-hmm. and responsive as a woman. Now, certainly women are not to be responsive to sin or to, you know, we're not talking about violating boundaries or going the wrong way, but just this attitude of receptivity and just blessing who are brothers are as mm-hmm. men, you know, even if they're not believers, mm-hmm. and interacting with them mm-hmm. out of the focus of being a woman mm-hmm. and interacting with them in a womanly way. And there was another gentleman on the plane that I sat next to once who basically said to me, and this was not a believer, who said, women have no idea of the power of their femininity. It's when I encounter a womanly woman, a feminine woman, it makes me want to rise up and serve her. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can be as simple as a smile on your face, mm-hmm. Greeting the person next mm-hmm. to you, so you find all about mm-hmm. find out all about Dolores's life or whoever it is. Just a warm, receptive spirit mm-hmm. that opens the door to be able to share mm-hmm. the life of Christ.
Right,
giving out a lot of thank yous.
Yes,
demonstrating mm-hmm. gratitude in your home to the family members. Just doing that often. Just to say thank you, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you, and communicating to them often what you think in your mind, and you think, well, they know that. They know they did a good job. They know I think highly of them. But if we don't verbalize that, they really don't.
And to the gentleman who opens the door.
Yes.
Right. So that you can go through to have a grateful spirit, because I've read the articles about some of these guys feeling they're going to get their hand cut off, you know, if they do anything that looks like
right.
they're treating women in a womanly way, and I think we've created some terror there. But to be another kind of woman that says, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I found one of the cool things that God's given me the opportunity to do is just to speak direct words of affirmation into people like my brother, my dad. There are other men, my husband, as well as some other men who are in leadership in my ministry, that it's just means a lot when I take time to say, I saw your strength in that decision that you made, or I appreciated the leadership that you exemplified in that really difficult conversation. Just writing an email or a handwritten note can just go such a long way in giving them the courage to continue to lead.
Mm-hmm. And affirming them in front of others,
yes,
too, to
right.
speak that in front
yeah.
of other people.
Okay, I got to tell you one of my pet peeves, and it fits in here with this whole thing of women being responsive and take it out of marriage, out of the home. But I've seen so many times when there's a gathering and we're having prayer time and they're men and women, and I saw this last week, and the women just dove into the pile to pray.
Oh, yes.
And because, you know, we do tend to be more naturally verbal.
Or right. testimony time.
Or testimony time. And right. the guys, they're being gentlemen, you know, they're letting you through the door and just waiting. But I hear so many women say, I wish men would be more expressive, more responsive, take more spiritual leadership. But sometimes you think, just practically, do we even give them a chance
right,
right.
to step in? And one of the things I just try to do, I'm in a lot of meetings with mostly men, and is to give the guys a chance to verbalize. They will. They've got deep hearts. So many of them do. And I thank the Lord that I work with a lot of men who really do love yes. the Lord and know his word. But if we're going to fill all the holes, all the silence with our words, we're not going to give them a chance. So I say to women sometimes, just back off a little bit.
Yeah.
Let him have a chance to say what's on his heart. That's being responsive. And it's in a quiet sort of way, giving them the chance to be men, which is to take initiative and to provide leadership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree.
Womanhood is such a critical topic because it ties into our identity and who God created us to be. And I think that it's not an easy topic to talk about in this culture. It hasn't been easy for me, and I've heard you
sharing.
I don't
think for any of us, mm-hmm. necessarily.
And I think the fear sometimes is that God's going to change our personalities or violate our personalities, that if I'm a strong-minded, opinionated,
outgoing
extrovert, that I have to change. And that's simply not true. I think that God can take these characteristics that we've talked about and pour them into any woman, any personality type, and she's going to end up looking like her. You're going to become more you. Your personality will shine out more, mm-hmm. as it's redeemed by the gospel and as God teaches you who it means to be a woman.
A true woman.
A right. true woman.
A godly
and,
woman.
And you become the woman that God had in his mind. Yeah. When he created us, when Jeremiah talks about God creating us in the womb, that we fully become the woman that God had in his mind when he created us, instead of part of that or a misshapen representation of that, we are able to more and more look like Christ throughout our life in a feminine way.
That's Holly Eliff. We also heard from Kim Wagner and Dana Gresh. They've been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian, co-authors of the workbook True Woman 101, Divine Design. We've been hearing a discussion of Chapter 3 in that book. The chapter is called Sugar and Spice. When you walk through a topic like this with Mary and Nancy, you'll have many chances to reflect on what you're studying. You'll identify practical ways that you can incorporate the study of biblical womanhood into your life. The workbook will help you take this discussion from something you think about to something you're living. We'll send you True Woman 101, Divine Design, when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Ask for the workbook when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. And if you have a small group in your home or at church, I hope you'll consider True Woman 101. Each woman in your group can walk through the workbook, then come together to watch the video. You'll watch a conversation like the one we heard today. Then your group can discuss this topic for themselves. To order for your group, visit reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. Well, Angela Yuan met with her son one day and heard the words, "I'm gay." She decided to take her own life because of the shame she felt. But God intervened in her plans. Hear the story starting Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Now Nancy's back to wrap up today's discussion on biblical womanhood.
Well, this discussion has been so interesting, and I know it's been helpful to me. I hope it's been to you as well. You know, our world programs us to devalue so many of the things that God values about womanhood. But here's the thing, the world's model of womanhood misses out on the beauty of who God created us to be. And we just want to remind ourselves that God's creation, God's divine design for womanhood is beautiful and it's good. That's what I love at the end of Genesis chapter 1 after God creates, you know, every other day of creation, he looks at what he's made and he says, it's good. But then God creates the male and the female. And verse 31 of Genesis 1 tells us, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, but very good. And so as we think about our created divine design, let's remind ourselves that what God has made is good, and that as we embrace that, we're going to experience God's blessings, his fullness, the fulfillment of all that we were created to be.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.